Hello, and welcome to Torah in Motion's MP3 audio library. We hope you enjoy this recording of a live Torah in Motion presentation. For more information, please visit www.torahinmotion.org. Thank you.
Whenever we try to explore any idea in halacha, certainly in chazal, we have to understand where they're basing or upon what they're basing their ideas. And therefore the question arises as to, well, from when do we ever know that there's a significance of Chodesh Elul? So without cheating for just a moment, right, anyone know, meaning when we think of Chodesh Elul in Tanakh, what do most people think of? Right, what must be the origins of Chodesh Elul? Again, is Chodesh Elul mentioned in Parshat HaMoadim? Is there any significance to Chodesh Elul? None whatsoever. Everything starts with Chodesh HaShvi'i, starting Rosh Chodesh, namely Rosh Hashanah. So what's the significance of Elul? Where do we first hear about the ideas of Elul? Again, during Tzkufat HaTanaim. Right, then we hear, yes, there are certain ways that we're supposed to act during Elul. This is the time for Kapar. We hear about Rosh Chodesh Elul being indeed the Rosh Chodesh for Maser Behema, the Rosh Hashanah for Maser Behema. But where in Tanakh do we ever find Rosh Chodesh Elul? And if we do, then obviously what is the significance there upon which Chazal are building? So what do we find? Any significance to Elul in Tanakh? Which one? Haggai. You knew that without looking? Sorry? Ah, very nice. Haggai, very good, because of Menachem Litzchak. Beautiful. Right, so hold that thought just for a minute, and we're going to see exactly, again, what Rosh Chodesh Elul means b'chlal in Haggai. Most people think, actually, of the famous story of Chet HaEgel and the process of Tshuva, which I'm already going to say we're going to place that aside as we continue throughout the shiur, because we're going to see right now that in itself is a machloket amongst the parshanim. Those who say that Tzkufat Elul is based on the fact that this is the time period in which Moshe Rabbeinu appealed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the last time for kapara, and in the end heard the words of Salachti in on Yom HaKippurim, and that's based on Mamarim of Chazal. And we're going to see that the Ramban disagrees with that entirely. So that's not a very clear basis in Tanakh for the significance of Elul. Beyond which, by the way, even the words of Salachti were not said by Chet HaEgel. When were they actually said? By Chet HaMeraglim. My Chazal are using one word and applying it to a different case entirely. Because was there really Slicha and Kapara by Chet HaEgel? No, what happened by Chet HaEgel? Those who sinned, what happened to them? They were killed, right? Everyone else, what had they were undergoing a process of returning to Hashem, not so that they wouldn't be killed, just Hashem said, I can't have a relationship with Am Yisrael at all now. Right? So Chazal take the term of Salachti and use it by Chet HaEgel, even though that wasn't the original place where it's placed. Not only that, but by Chet HaMeraglim, you would say there the punishment could perhaps be stronger, but in fact, did they really achieve Kapara through Chet HaMeraglim in the end? Yes, with 40 years in the Midbar, they restore themselves, or they renew their relationship with Hashem based on how it was supposed to be at the beginning. But let's turn for a minute to Shmuel Perek Lamed Bet. This is the famous Chazal view of Chodesh Elul. V'ata hamichali, right after Chet HaEgel, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, they're an Am Kshei Oref, I don't want to have anything to do with them. V'yachar api b'hem achalim as'el tcha l'goy gadol. I really want to destroy them. And the first thing Moshe Rabbeinu does is, no, don't destroy all of them. Again, only the sinners. And Hashem says, fine. But I won't have a relationship with any of them. How do we know this? Parak Lamed Gimel. Vaydavar Hashem Moshe, lech alei mizeh, ata va'am asher helita me'eretz Mitzrayim. As you discussed before, take your nation, el ha'aretz asher nishbati l'Avram l'Yitzchak l'Yaakov, l'imor l'zaracha etznena, v'shalachti l'fanacha malach. This is a very depressing pasuk. What does Hashem say? Fine, I won't kill all of you, but goodbye. You're on your own. I'm sending a malach to help you. This is obviously a b'diavad situation, because what was originally supposed to happen? Hashem was supposed to accompany Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem says, no, I'm sending a malach instead. Moshe is very upset with this and says, but Hashem, this isn't what you told me. You told me when I accepted the position as a manhig, as a navi in Pasuk Yud Bet. Hashem, that wasn't in our contract. That's not what you told me. You told me at the time of Yitzhak Mitzrayim that what was going to happen, that you were going to help me emancipate this nation from their current state of slavery, and then what would happen? לקחתי אתכם אל הארץ אשר נשבעתי לאבותיכם אברהם יצחק ויעקב אל ארץ אבת חלב ודבש. So according to the contract, who's supposed to take on Israel to Eretz Israel? You, Hashem, not me. Et asher teshlach imi v'ata amarta yidaticha b'shem v'gam matatichayim b'inai. And I thought you liked me. Ata imna matatichayim b'inecha hodieni natrachacha. So show me the way. Show me how somehow I can restore your relationship with Am Yisrael. And what does Hashem say? Is there a way? Here's a good example of Mizmor Nun Aleph. Can't really get us back to the relationship where we had before. You can't just bleach out the stain on the shirt and go on. Hashem says you have to buy a new shirt. Again, the Leif Chadash Ruach Nechon. We're going to have a new relationship, one that's going to be based on the Yigimel Mitzot Rachamim. So sure enough, Moshe is successful then. And let's take a look at what we find in Sefer Dvarim. Moshe recounts, again in this week's Parsha, Moshe recounts for Am Yisrael exactly what happened. He says the first thing that happened right after I left the Har and the Luchos were broken, that's Napel Lefnei Hashem Karishona, Arba'im Yom, Arba'im Laila. Sometime after the breaking of the Luchot, after Moshe had been at Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, Moshe said, I went up again. Lechem lo chalti, mayim lo shatiti, al kol chatatchem, asher chatatam laso, tahara b'ine Hashem lahachiso, to somehow assuage Hashem's anger. And that apparently didn't work because in Pasuk Chafei, v'tznapel lefnei Hashem et arbeim yom et arbeim laila sher etznapalti kem Hashem lashminetchem. I was there for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Parshanim disagree whether these are different 40 days and 40 nights. Rashi quotes the famous Midrash that what happened, these are two different stages of 40 days and 40 nights. And Rashi understands that one immediately followed the other. Moshe came down on what date and broke the Luchot? If he went up indeed on Zayin Tivan, the day after Mamat Har Sinai, according to Chazal, then he came down on Shabbat Har B'Tammuz. He went back up on what day? And Yudchet came back down on, and he went on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Again, then went back up and came down on Yom HaKippurim. So Rashi understands that really there are three cycles of Arba'im Yom, one immediately following the other, which means Rosh Chodesh Elul, Ne'amar Lo Ba'alisa Bobok, Al Har Sinai, and Lekabel Luchot Achronot. That Rosh Chodesh Elul begins the last of the cycles, and that was when Hashem said, Anochi Amatati Bahar, Ki Yamim HaMishonim. Moshe was referring back to the last 40-day cycle, Marishonim Baratzon, Achronim Baratzon, Emor Mata, Emsayim, Hayu Bekas, the 40 days in the middle, Hashem was still angry, and B'yu B'tishrei Netratzak, So based on this Midrash Chazal, we find that the significance of Elul is, we have a story in Tanakh, the first time that Hashem ever forgave Am Yisrael really began at this time period of Elul. And again, who clearly disagrees? The Ramban. The Ramban says, no, it wasn't one right after the other. Take a look at the second paragraph. Ve'eino nachon ve'einai, kimatam lahazkir zekan be'emsa ha'parsha. Because there are other things that are going on between Hashem and Moshe, and Moshe and B'nai Yisrael, so it can't be one right after the other. He says, Moshe, in the meantime, we find, takes his ohel and he puts it outside of the Machane of Am Yisrael, and the Machane of Am Yisrael stands up as Moshe goes by, and had the whole story there of Moshe talking to B'nai Yisrael, and how about punishing them as well? He says, there are certainly breaks in between. V'divrei Rabbeinu b'chol ha-midrashim, shasa Moshe zeh ba'avor chet ha'egel, darash Moshe, so basically he tells us, no, the dates weren't as follows. But rather, take a look at the last paragraph. Imkein, yem Moshe. Moshe yikach et ha'ohel v'chol ha'parsha miyudchat betamuz atzof arba'im umiyom ha'kipurim ad echad b'nisan. Aval lo yavoze kahogen mima shamar ha'katuv etznapel lefnei Hashem karishonim arba'im yom arba'im laila lechem lo achalti etznapel lefnei Hashem et arba'im ha'yom et arba'im ha'laila asher etznapelti kima Hashem lashmid etchem v'yefshar shiya kol ze barba'im yom ha'chronim achar shenemar lo psalacha v'aleha alai ha'hara ki ayu baratzon ukvar vitel lashmid etchem. He says there was a whole period in between where Moshe was with B'nai Israel, where he didn't even go up to Har Sinai. And it can't be that everything that went on between Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu started Rosh Chodesh Elul. And therefore, he says, there definitely was another period of 40 days and 40 nights, but it didn't necessarily start then, and it certainly wasn't directly one after the other. So note that the Midrashic idea of Rosh Chodesh Elul isn't necessarily, as the Ramban proves, supported by the Pshat. So now the question is there any significance to Rosh Chodesh Elul according to the Pshat? And by the way, Rabbi Nobachaye in the Baal HaTzurim also, again, quotes the Midrashei Chazal, that the whole process of tshuva began on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and that's why we start, as Rabbi Nobachaye says, Lachein, Kavua Rabotinu Yom Din Shepamayim B'Shabbat Batei Dinim Kfuim B'Yoshvim, and this is what Yeshayahu refers to, Dershu Hashem B'Matso, Kra'u B'Yoto Karov, Ro'oi L'Drosh, B'Sheni V'Chamishi. We learn other ideas from Moshe Rabbeinu, that after Mondays and Thursdays, because those were the days that Moshe appealed to Hashem. In short, what we find is that the Midrashic view supports the whole idea that this is the time for Slicha u'mechila. But how about Pshat? So, as was certainly referred to, Sefer Chagai. In Sefer Chagai we find Rosh Chodesh Elul mentioned. So let's take a look. At the first set that we have, Rosh Chodesh Elul mentions connected to a specific context, and see what the context is there. And maybe what Chazal are really doing is not extrapolating from the story of Chet Ha'egel the significance of Rosh Chodesh Elul, but they know about Rosh Chodesh Elul from Chagai and are then going to take the idea there and apply it to another situation. What do I mean by this? Let's look at Chagai. When does Chagai live? Chagai lives during Tzkufat Shabbat Zion. He lives in the second year of Daryavish. He lives basically 18 years after Hatzarat Koresh, after Koresh has already allowed for the Jews to return to Eretz Yisrael from Babel. And what would you expect after the Jews are allowed to return to Eretz Yisrael? Firstly, that they would all return. But somehow there are still a couple in Taranto. Sorry about that. There are still, again, most of Am Yisrael in Chutz La'aretz, and only about 32,000 Jews return, right, which is really a drop in the bucket. Not only that, but you'd expect that they're going to return. And especially because there was such a strong representation of Kohanim, what would they do immediately? Rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Anyone remember what happened? The Shomronim, right? Those intermarried Kutim and Shomronim Yisraelim wanted to build their Mikdash in Shechem, believing that that was the ancient Shalem. And therefore, they didn't want the Mikdash built in Yerushalayim, and they rebelled against the Yehudim. They appealed to the Persian authorities, and time after time, their plans were thwarted. So much so that eventually they gave up, even though we know that according to Yirmiyahu, they're only supposed to rebuild the Mikdash, and we see this confirmed in Sefer Daniel, 7 years after the Churban, so really in the year 516, that's when they're able to complete the building of the Mikdash. Chagai appeals to a generation that's already attempted to build it, and their plans were foiled, and he has to encourage them to rebuild it again. This is where we start. Vishnat Shtayim L'Daryavash HaMalach B'Chodesh HaShishi B'Yom Echad L'Chodesh. The first time that we find this date mentioned explicitly in Tanakh is here. What date is this? Chagai comes to address the people during the time of the leaders, Rubavel ben Shaltiel Pachat Yehuda, the head officer of Yehuda, Vel Yehoshua ben Yotadaka, Kohen HaGadol Lemor, Koma Hashem Tzvaot Lemor, Ha'amaze Amru, the people are saying, Lo Eitbo Eit Beit Hashem Lehibano, such a rhyming fashion there, that it's not time to rebuild the Mikdash. And Hashem told Chagai to say, Ha'it Lachem Atem Lashebe Bevatechem Sfunim, Ba'abayit HaZecharev, you mean it's time for you to remain comfortable in your homes while my home stays in a state of destruction? Ata Koma Hashem Tzvaot, Timu Levabchem Adachachem, this is Chagai's mantra, right? Pay attention here. Simu levavchem, zratem harbei vavei ma'at, so be very careful, because I know you planted a lot this year, but you're not going to bring home a lot. Ve'achol ve'ein l'sava, you may eat, but you're not going to have enough to fill you. Shato ve'ein l'shachra, you're going to drink, but not reach a state of intoxication. Lavosh ve'ein l'chomlo, you may wear a lot of clothing, but you're never going to be sufficiently warm. Ha'mistaker mistaker al-sror nakuv, and you're going to earn a living, but it's all going to literally go down the drain. You're not going to be able to sustain yourselves here. You won't be satisfied. The rewards will not equal the investment. What is he trying to tell them? The rewards will not equal the investment. Beware. It's Rosh Chodesh Elul. What happens Rosh Chodesh Elul? It's not just the time of Maaser Behema. What is Rosh Chodesh Elul? The last month of the summer. This is harvesting season. It's called the Kayet because it's the Kates. It's the end of the harvest. And he says, beware. Because it's Rosh Chodesh Elul. What are you all anticipating doing this month for those in Eretz Yisrael? Again, this is the time that they're picking the grapes and they're picking the figs and they're starting to pick the rimonim. This is harvesting season, my friends, but beware. Because if you don't do what I'm going to ask you to do right now, there isn't going to be any harvest. What do I want you to do? Aluhahar, Hevitim Eitz. Go up quickly. Don't even make any treaties with Hiram Melech Tzor. Get regular wood. Uvnu habayit and just build the mikdash already. Ertzebo vechavdam haHashem. Don't worry, whatever it turns out to be, I like it, says Hashem. And I'll express my kavod there, pano al harbei, because if not, then you're going to look at what looks like a lot. It has the potential to be a large crop. Hinei lema'at, it's going to turn to nothing. Ve'veitam habayit v'nafachti bo, yan manum Hashem svot, yan beiti asher hu charei v'atem ratzim ish leveito. I'm going to do this because my house is in a state of ruins and you're all happily going to your homes. You want to know how your harvest is going to be ruined? I'm not going to give it the last of the dew, the last of the moisture that it needs to reach its final stages of fruition. Sure enough, how do the people respond? Pasuk Tedvav, Biyomasrim Barba Allah Chodesh Bashishi Bishnat Shtayim Ludariyah Vashamalach. We find by the 24th of Elul, boom, apparently they're all doing what they're supposed to be doing. So much so that Bashvi'i Besrim Echad Lachodesh Chaf Aleph Tishrei. That's another interesting date. What date is that? Hoshana Rabbah. What do you know about Hoshana Rabbah? The last day of Sukkot, prior to Shemini Atzeres. What is the day of Hoshana Rabbah? What do you do on Hoshana Rabbah? Hoshana, right? You ask Hashem to save us in the form of rain, right? We daven to Hashem for rain. Why on Hoshana Rabbah? Sukkot is celebrating the harvest, and what do you do right after Sukkot? You start to plan for the next one. So note something very interesting. That so far, the two dates that Haggai is going to address the people in the form of Nebuah are going to be on Rosh Chodesh Elul and Chaf Aleph Tishrei, two dates that have a very significant agricultural importance. And why approach them on these dates? To scare them, to tell them, well, if you don't do something now, the agriculture, the land, which we know from Vahayam Shamoa, the land is going to respond negatively. Amor Neltu Bavel Ben Shetel Pachat Yuda, tell them now, Mi Bacham Hanashar Shara'a Bayit Hazeh Bechvodo HaRishon, Namatem Ru'im Oto Ata. And I know you're looking at this and it looks like a very dinky building, but don't worry. Ha'ata Chazak Tzru Bavel Nu Mashem, Chazak Yosho Ben Yosotak HaKoyin HaGadol, Chazak Kol HaMa Aretz Nu Mashem Vasu, Ki Ani Yitchem Nu Mashem Tzvaot. Do it anyway, says Hashem, I just need a mikdash built. It's now time to already restore my kavod to Am Yisrael. So now, sure enough, the Radak tells us, Bestrim, he mechelu lahachin binyan habayit b'chodesh hashishi shehu elul. It's clear that this was at the time of Elul. And uvachodesh hatshiit shehu kislev, he's going to come again on chavdalit kislev, and that's when they establish the foundation of the mikdash, what's known as Yom Yusad Hechal Hashem. And what does that tell us? He explains, lama lo shala kol hashanim ha'elu me'et shehechelu lakriv hakarbanot. And what's interesting, he says, why not mention, at least, again, that they should come, and they should build a mizbeach, and why not any of that? He says, there wasn't even any worship whatsoever. Now, we know the halachot. When there isn't a mikdash, are you allowed to sacrifice on bamot? When there isn't a mikdash? Yeah. Until when? Until... Again, the first Beit HaMikdash, and based on this radak, between the two mikdashot, again, you could have bamot as well. He says, "Miyom shalu harishonim ha'olim ha'golak sheigiu ba'areihem banu ha'mizbeach v'kriv olav v'hechal Hashem lo yasad." They built the mizbeach without hechal, and there were 19 years in the v'nei ha'mizbeach kodim b'nyan ha'bayit. V'lama lo shala kol ha'shanim ha'elu me'et she'echilu lakriv karbanot. He said, they built the mizbeach, but what didn't they do? They weren't bringing karbanot. Lefi shalohi advar karbanot kavua ad hayom shechelu b'vinyan habayit. It's as if they were besafik. I don't know. Can we bring karbanot? Can we not? So what's interesting is that when then did they start to bring karbanot on this mizbeach? When they start to build the Beit HaMikdash? When did they start? On what day? Rosh Chodesh Elul. Which means that they renew or they reestablish avodat karbanot on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Which already tells us something. And what does that tell us from Haggai? Here we get a sense that Rosh Chodesh Elul has agricultural significance. And the proof is that all three times that Haggai appears to the people, Rosh Chodesh Elul, Chaf Aleph Tishrei, and we already said Chaf Dalet Kislev. Why does he come Chaf Dalet Kislev? That's when the olives are reaching their peak in the harvest season. I am remind you of the story of Hanukkah. And Haggai comes at these particular agricultural times in order to warn the people. These are very precarious times on an agricultural basis. So So that seems to be, again, the significance of Rosh Chodesh Elul. It's important agriculturally. But the agriculture here expresses what the people have to do. The agriculture is an expression of, yes, this is your last minute opportunity to do what? To have a successful harvest. And if you don't succeed in Elul, can the harvest still be ruined? 100%. Again, what does a harvest symbolize? That's the basic idea here. Why warn them in Elul? Why not warn them 3 months earlier? What's the idea of Elul? Elul is a last minute harvesting opportunity. Right? The last minute where it can go either beautifully or it can be entirely ruined. And that's why Chagai comes at that point. And here we already see a beautiful basis for Elul in Tanakh. Elul then is a perfect time for our Navi to come to warn the people, it's late, but it's not too late. It's not too late for it still to be good, but it's also not too late for it to be ruined. And now let's take a look in Yechezkel, how we also have a reference to Rosh Chodesh Elul, perhaps, in Yechezkel, and that's why I didn't quote this verse. Vahi ba'ashtei esrei shana be'achad l'chodesh. And the Malbim tells us, what chodesh was this? Be'achad l'chodesh. Lo bi'er be'ez ha'chodesh. O'kafi ha'nireh haya b'chodesh Elul, o tishrei achar ha'chorban she'samchu al ha'chorban. Why does he say this? Look at the context. Ha'ad v'ashem alai le'mor. Ben Adam, yan asher amrat sor al Yerushalayim. This is in the Nevuot of the Goyim that Yechezkel addresses the nations with. He says, sor from Lebanon said, ha'ach nishbarad latot ha'amim nasaba elai imalah ha'charava. That yes, our brother was destroyed. Meaning they were celebrating the fact that the Mikdash was ruined. Lachem kama ha'ashem lukim hinini alach atzor v'aliti alach goyim rabim kalot hayam legalav. Which means that Yechezkel is recounting in Rosh Chodesh Elul that Tzor was happy for Binyan, for the Chorban Beit HaMikdash. By the way, why does he say it was Elul or Tishrei? Because the Mikdash was destroyed in Av. So here we find that in Elul, the people are happy. Again, the other nations are happy. So Rosh Chodesh Elul, is that always a good time? No. Rosh Chodesh Elul is the time where things can go great or they can go horribly. And let's see that also in Nehemiah. In Nehemiah, Vatishlam Hachoma, Be'esrim Lechamisha Le'elul, Lechamishim Ushnayim Yom. We find good things happening in Elul as well. For example, Nehemiah, after Chagai, about 80 years after Chagai, comes to restore Chizkiyahu's wall around Yerushalayim, which is a way of separating the Yudim from the Shomronim and establishing security in Yerushalayim. Be'esrim Lechamisha, Rashi tells us, on the 25th, Yamim Lachodesh Elul, Bishnat Chas Ledayavish Hamelech, Shebishnat Esrim Ledayavish Alan Nechemim Mibavel, Obodo Shana Bana Chorvot Yerushalayim. Why is this beautiful? The same date, the same month then that we have wherein Lebanon, Sor was happy for the destruction of Yerushalayim. Don't worry, in that same month, Nehemiah was trying to somehow counter the Binyan, the Chorban Beit HaMikdash through Binyan Chomot Yerushalayim. The proof, by the way, is that how long does it take him to build this wall? An amazing feat. They work day and night, particularly night, so the Shomronim won't see them and foil their plans. They work for 52 days. They rebuild the entire Chumah. That's a tremendous engineering feat even for today. And the question is, why does the Tanakh even tell us 52 days? Generally, what does Tanakh do with numbers? Rounds them off. So why not 50? 52 days! Firstly, to highlight the feat, but also to tell us 52 days. That sounds familiar. 52 days. In Tanakh, we have a thing called Yom Lishana, Yom Lishana. What does that mean? A day for a year, especially when days, when specific days are mentioned, very often they're parallel to years. The first time you have this is by Chaita Meraglim, 40 years in the Midbar for the 40 days that the Meraglim were sinning in Eretz Yisrael. Where else do you have this? In? Where? 430 days, that again, for beautiful, for 390 days he has to lie on his left side, representing the north, for 40 days on his right side. Yom l'shana, yom l'shana. Beautiful. Right? The day for a year, 430 days, perhaps for the 430 years that they were in Mitzrayim. 40 days on his right side, perhaps to symbolize the 40 years in the Midbar. Beautiful. Yom l'shana, yom l'shana. And therefore, 52. Are there any 52 years that we're familiar with? 100%. There were 52 years in which there was no presence of Yehudim in Eretz Yisrael, again, from the year 486 until they returned in the year 435 BCE. So here we have from the year 586 to 535 BCE. So here we have a beautiful example of the significance of Elul? 52 days it took him to rebuild the wall, and he was clearly trying to show that through these 52 days, he's restoring 52 years of lack of Jewish settlement. He is somehow compensating for what happened 52 years earlier, which was the Chorban Beit HaMikdash, which although happened in Av, the responses were found in Elul. Again, Elul is a month where things can go terribly, or things can go beautifully. And the last source that we have, I think, highlights this very nicely as well. And that is the Tosefta, which tells us that the year isn't just divided by months, but certainly by season, by the summer, the winter solstice, the fall, and the spring equinox. And we find that indeed, Rabbi Dosa would divide up the year, Kidvarav. Here we go. Chatzi Tishrei, starting Tetvav Tishrei, and Mar Cheshvan, and till Tetvav Kislei, this is the time of Zera. This is the time that you plant. That's why Chagai came on Chaf Aleph Tishrei to tell them, beware! If you don't go ahead and continue building the Beit HaMikdash, even though it doesn't look so nice in your eyes, beware, Hashem can punish your planting season. Next. Then we have Chatzi Kislev, Tevet, V'chatzi Shvat, that's called Choref. Choref in Eretz Yisrael, as you all know, means it's not really so cold. What is it? Choref is rainy season. Chatzi Shvat, V'chatzi Shvat, V'adar, V'chatzi Nisan, Kor. Then you have the chilly season, when everyone gets sick because there's a chamsin and then it's freezing the next day. That's the Kor season. And then Chatzi Nisan, Iyar, V'chatzi Sivan, Katzir. That's the beginning of the harvest. Chatzi Sivan Tamuz v'chatzi Av Kayitz. Then you have the harvesting season that goes through the middle of Av. I said, wait, I thought this is Elul. Look carefully. Chatzi Av Elul v'chatzi Tishrei Chom. Elul is Chom season. What's Chom season? It's just hot. As opposed to all the other seasons, again, even the chill season, this is just hot. What does that mean? This is the hot season. It doesn't just mean when you walk outside, it's hot. Right? This is a season wherein you really can't do anything. It's after the kayitz, or it's at the last stages of the kayitz, and it's before you can even plant. This is what we'll even call, again, the limbo state. That's Rosh Chodesh Elul. Rosh Chodesh Elul, everything is literally in limbo. There's just heat out there. I think that it's not for any chance that it's literally hot, meaning there's something going on. Molecules are moving around. But technically, we're also in a static state. And the question is, where are you going to move? Where are you going to go? What direction are you going to go in? So Chagai comes on Rosh Chodesh Elul in the middle of all this, in the middle of the home season, and says, you can be lazy, it's summertime, but I warn you not to be. This is the time that you guys have to pick yourselves up and go build! Because if not, then everything's going to fail. This is the season wherein Lebanon is going to mock and laugh at Am Yisrael for the destruction of the Mikdash, but it's also the time that Nehemiah can rebuild the walls to counter that. Rosh Chodesh Elul then, in Tanakh, and the whole month of Elul in Tanakh, is the state where it can go one way or the other, and it's up to the initiative of Am Yisrael. Yes, its roots are in agriculture, as in any time period in Tanakh. If you really want to appreciate it, then go and see what it's like in Eretz Yisrael during that time. Because Tanakh is about the life in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Rosh Chodesh Elul in Tanakh, in Eretz Yisrael, is not only the time period of Chom, it's not only the end of the harvest, but it's really the state of limbo wherein it can go one way or the other, and it's dependent on our actions. Perhaps for that reason alone, Chazal said, this is the time that it must have been that Moshe Rabbeinu was really in this limbo state with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And although the Ramban disagrees, what Rashi is trying to tell us is that this is the time where Moshe was in constant dialogue with Hashem. Are you going to go with us or are you not going to go with us? This is a time when Moshe interacted with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to finally hear Hashem's words of V'salachti. And Be'ezrat Hashem, if we understand the roots of Elul and understand that this is a time where perhaps it's the easiest time of the year for 100 reasons, for the fact that it's home season, we're not doing anything. This is post and it's more, but it's pre-university. This is a time where, yeah, again, we can sit home or we can come to a 3-day Yom Iyun to learn about this time. Chagai tells us this is the time to get up. This is the time wherein you can really change everything around. You have a choice of sitting comfortably in your homes while habayit shali charev, or you're going to go up and you're going to build something. This is a challenge of Elul, and this, I think, is the basis of Elul indeed in Tanakh. We're going to take a 2-minute break now, and the last shiur will start immediately. wonderful, wonderful.